Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We're still here. We're still standing. It's too damn Friday. We might not have our, well, we might actually have our cell phones out on the table here because we're not insiders waiting to break news. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egwumike, but.
I got two. Oh my phones. God. Actually, hold up.
Don't tell me you have a third.
I got three phones.
All right, so we've got Jhené Egwumike Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And before we get to COVID-19 again injecting itself into the world of sports, a preview coming up in about 10 minutes you won't want to miss for one of the biggest fights in all of boxing from our very own Stephen A. Smith. Jhené, you've got three phones, so I'm assuming one is business, one is pleasure, and then what is the other, like the phone number you give guys when you're not really sure and you want to kind of keep them on board? Like, how does this work? How does a three-phone system work?
Nailed it.
Oh, no.
Nailed it. So they can't say I lied, but they can't say I didn't, like, not give them a real number. So, yeah.
So instead of giving them, like, a six-digit number, you just give them this seven-digit number?
Pretty much. I don't even know the number. I have to, like, turn on, like, oh, what's my it's horrible when I get caught not knowing the number I'm giving them.
Oh, God. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. See, Jhené, I feel like this is a real-life example. To get ready for the NFL weekend, we love playing End Zone Friend Zone around here. We're going to do that today. This feels like the real-life version of you deciding who's in the friend zone and who's in the end zone.
Correct. And that's where it comes. Like, which phone you get is whether you're not you're in the end zone or the friend zone. But I would give my personal number to Dale.
My God, Dale from The Bachelorette, who has already stolen the heart of Claire Crawley and apparently Jhené Egwumike. So plenty to keep an eye on.
I texted you, right?
Yo,
immediately.
Yes. Immediate snowflake emoji. Dale, he is my husband. So, Claire, watch out because Jhené's got eyes on your man right now. So we will get to plenty more of that and the actual end zone, friend zone. But Jhené, anyone getting to the end zone at this point seems like it's getting more and more difficult in the world of sports here because we came into today, the Indianapolis Colts had to shut down their facility because of four positive tests. They sent and announced that they're going to reopen their facility today after it was found out that those were four false positives in those cases, which certainly we're happy about is good news, but that's followed up by news reported by our own Field Yates and Mike Reese that the Patriots have now canceled practice on Friday and their interviews after a positive COVID case and are waiting for results on a second case. So, Jhené, you come from a sport that operated inside of a bubble and enjoyed a lot of success. As you look now at what we continue to see, this becoming the norm in the NFL, how long do you think these athletes are going to be able to withstand this constant disruption to their schedule during the course of the season?
Well, bubbles are ideal, but when you think about the big sports where football has so many personnel and players and baseball has so many personnel and players, I think that's why Shefty coming on and talking to us yesterday about the potential of a bubble is something that will continue to be ongoing, because if these situations continue to be ongoing as well, it seems more the likely. If the Patriots game is postponed again, there are not many more slots on their calendar because I believe this is their bye week where they should be playing. And so that sort of begs the question, which we've all sort of been pushing towards, you know, with week 18. And also thinking about, you know, you talk about these players that have to play. At some point, will they push if they're not trying to, you know, have the schedule be long, lengthened? Will they push for the players to play even though they may not have the top tier talent at every position? Meaning, will the quality of play decline eventually if they're pushed to play because they don't want to extend the season? These are all realities that these teams are probably going to have to face and plan for. And so now I think looking at the overall landscape of the NFL, I do think that they're trying to handle this the best way possible. It just seems like their runway is so tight, and we're seeing this, especially with the Patriots who are dealing with their bye week and now no wiggle room moving forward.
Jhené Egwumike Jr. here on ESPN Radio. That's Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And I think it's just what you described, Jhené, because for a while we dealt with the reactions kind of like during the summer when this was happening across college football campuses as they brought players back and athletes back in a lot of sports. As you saw programs having to shut down, close the doors on their building, people wondering if we were going to have a season. And then we kept showing up Monday and we kept doing the same thing. The NFL's kind of in that right now where we look at this and say there's no way they're going to be able to go on, and then the Titans show up and beat the Bills on Tuesday night, and things seem to go on in a lot of this. So I'm with you. It becomes more now, when does that quality dip? The Patriots are such an example of, not in the Titan sense where you've had an overwhelming amount of positive cases, but just look at the way the response to the pandemic has affected them with the player opt-outs. They lost probably more players than any other team in football, losing their star quarterback, the one thing that a lot of people talked about going into the season, in what ended up being a very winnable game potentially against the reigning Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, and now having to close down their facility again. You know this, Chiney, athletes are such creatures of habit that you're right. The two things I worry about, one is, like you said, when does the quality start to decline? I mean, we joked that maybe practice is just extinct after what we saw Tennessee was able to come out and do, but like, do you think at some point that catches up in a way that does that? Because then the other thing I worry about is injury, having access to the facilities, having access to the training room every day, and being able to properly, not even just rehab, but prepare your body for the things you got to face.
And then adding to your list, the third thing is the fairness. Because if you look at the Patriots situation where Cam Newton is not playing, but his team still goes out there and plays, versus a Titans team that might have more exposure to more players and they force a post moment, and then they finally get a game where everyone's available to play, to me, how fair does that feel? And then again, if there's low wiggle room when it comes to the scheduling, you're starting to wonder, all right, does this conversation about win percentage and games being potentially canceled, and now we're going by percentage for the first time in the history of the NFL, not by going total number of wins per division. It's now, okay, based on this situation, how many wins percentage-wise are you accounting for? Like, that's where all of this feels a little sticky, because sometimes you see teams like, and I don't know if I feel like it's fair to say, the Titans kind of being rewarded by, because it seems like it was more widespread than teams that are dealing with one or two isolated instances where the rest of their team can go out there. And then, wait, that one player that is isolated is your quarterback, and you're dealing without him. So that's where the fairness, to me, is. It's flexible, but is it fair? And that's what I'm sort of weighing.
And it really is interesting when you look at it that way, because the Titans were defiant in the way that they felt like they were treated by the outside world. But every other team in the league is probably looking at them and saying exactly what you just did. If we are diligent and going about this the right way, and we have one, you know, depending on how you look at roster construction, untimely or ill-placed case of COVID-19, because we know anyone getting it is bad, but in a football strategy sense, they're saying exactly what you just did. But I think what it's ultimately going to boil down to is this, Chiney. We've seen over and over again, and Diana Rossini, our great ESPN NFL insider, tweeted about 3 hours ago and said, I was just informed by a league source all games are on schedule this weekend. So we haven't seen any of the movement. We saw the mass shuffling this last weekend. It appears that, I think at the very least, what you talked about, that Week 18 idea, lengthening this out, you gave yourself wiggle room around the Super Bowl for this reason. I don't know why you wouldn't just be preemptive about that and say, yeah, we want to get all the games in, but we understand we've got to give ourselves this room for error, because that's the only way people are winning right now, trying to do sports in the middle of a pandemic. And then after that, it's an understanding that, all right, the football has grossly exceeded my expectations when it's come to being outdoors, having to deal with all these things, and the quality still being up. I'd have to imagine at some point, even with professionals, if you're losing this much practice time, that's going to dip a little bit, and we're just going to have to be ready for that.
I'm just thinking about the NFL, teams like the Titans not practicing, even the Patriots doing things virtual, and then you still have to go out there on game day. Kind of like us the last 2 weeks.
More or less. And you know what? And it's such a great point, Chiney. I had someone, I was doing a hit earlier today on a radio show, and they asked me about this relative between college and the pros. And it's such an example of, these people are paid year-round to be professionals and focus on only this. And so we've seen that level of attention to detail. And you know this, making that transition, when it becomes the way that you feed your family, feed yourself, take care of yourself, there's a different level of attention to detail you're allowed that can produce these results. Whereas in college, I mean, we're watching 4 or 5 games postponed this weekend in college after an offseason where you didn't get to develop in the weight room. You didn't have as much time on the field in the spring. All of these areas, development is huge in college. You're still becoming a young person, a young woman, or a young man into the full adult version of yourself as a person and an athlete. That makes it an even, you know, incomparable situation from one level to another, but it is the advantage that the pro game certainly has.
Yeah, and I think they will lean into that, hopefully. You know, if you have that extra wiggle room and that extra runway, why not use it?
Absolutely. Chinay Ngolick Jr. reminding you to be a part of Chinay Ngolick Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to any ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. If you have more than two cell phones like Chinay, let us know why at Mike Golick Jr., at Chinay. I'm always fascinated. It seems like it's just going to get me into trouble because eventually my dumb you-know-what is going to pick up the wrong cell phone, hit up the wrong person, and get myself in trouble. Like, you have to have snitched on yourself at some point.
Oh, you want to know something that I did? I'll tell you after this.
Oh, all right. Coming up next, Chinay spilling her own tea, and one of the best in the business gets us ready for one of the biggest fights in boxing. That's next. It's Chinay Ngolick Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinay Ngolick Jr., the podcast.
Coming up in just a few minutes, the exact reason that this fight and the Major League Baseball postseason are both being reignited and are going to be incredibly enjoyable. The tie that binds both of those with one of the best in the business. It's Chinay Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Mike Golick Jr. and Chinay Agwumike here. And Chinay, we got to get to news from Chinay Ngolick Jr. Nation, at Mike Golick Jr., at Chinay. Hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed because we need to hear if anyone else has fallen into the same trap that you have in this. You are a multi-cell phone user, proudly and truly.
I only use two regularly.
You only use two, but you have three. And as you have told us, there is the business phone, the pleasure phone, and then the I'm not really sure if he's ready to get called up to the show phone. And you were telling us that they have actually gotten you in trouble before in ways that I could have predicted for me. I don't know about you. I figured you were going to be above this, but apparently not.
I feel like a lot of people have been in this situation before where you are talking to your people, whether it's boys talking to boys, you know, girls, you know, I'm talking to my girls like, hey, I went out with this guy and then I want to show her who he is. So they're always like, send me his social media page. You know, it could be send me his Facebook. It could be send me his picture. And so I attempted to send my friend a couple videos of him on his social media, and I accidentally sent the video to him himself.
With a spicy caption on it, too.
Very spicy caption to my girls, like, hey, look at this, you know what I mean? Like, emojis and all that type of stuff. And I looked back, and I was like, oh my goodness. Now, luckily, I was able to unsend the caption, but he still got the video.
At some point, yeah, you weren't going to get away from that. But shout out to Instagram for allowing you to unsend messages there. Saving a lot of people from some late night mistakes or some multi-cell phone issues. So at Chinay, at Mike Golick Jr., if you have gotten yourself into a similar situation, because you're right, Chinay, I don't think you're alone on this at all.
I mean, everyone has sent a text probably to the wrong person. You're talking about someone and you accidentally tell that person exactly what you were saying. And so I feel like we've all been in that situation. We're like, oh, my gosh. And it's happened with me and my parents. I'm like, oh, snap.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but it was nothing bad.
Oh, no. Okay.
It was nothing bad. Nothing bad. But, you know, like, it happens when you're texting someone about someone and you accidentally send it to that person that you weren't trying to send it to the person you're talking about.
We've all been there. It's been a difficult run of that. You know what? That's how we get some of the bad blood involved in these situations, Chinay, is at least in this instance, it was like thirst trap business. It was something you were saying positive about somebody else. Because every once in a while, you can say something wild, reckless the other way, and it might go sideways. And that becomes the interesting part of all of this, Chinay, when we're looking at, certainly, I brought this up, two events coming up into this weekend. We've got the fight, Vasily Lomachenko and Teofimo Lopez getting ready to square off on Saturday night, and by all accounts, going to be an incredible fight because there's bad blood involved here. There's a lot of animosity. These guys don't like each other. That's kind of been building over the last year. I would argue it's the same reason right now, Chinay, that there's going to be a little bit of an uptick in the interest in Major League Baseball's postseason. Certainly, both LCS going on right now, locked into it. But with the Houston Astros right in your backyard starting to insert themselves back into this series, everybody loves a bad guy, Chinay, and we talked about how maybe not everyone's cut out for it, but I think in this instance, Houston is good for business, even if baseball might not want to admit that.
Everyone loves villains, and I'm in Houston, and it's just interesting because even though there is this stigma attached to their success now, everyone's still rooting for the hometown team. We had our friend of the show, Paul Wall, say, I believe, you know, especially with Houston having their struggles, especially in this series. So, yeah, I am more intrigued because Houston's in it. I'm also intrigued because the Dodgers are in it. And I think it's a greater conversation about how experience is either helping or hurting teams. Because when it comes to the Dodgers, you would think that experience would help versus the Braves, but it's really not. And it's tough when it comes to Kershaw. And then you think about the Astros, the experience of all the adversity the last few years and all, and you can also say that like not having the fans there sort of helps because they're not going around and hearing the boos and dealing with that other adversity. But just, you know, with Altuve and the struggles he's had, I think that sort of allowed them to rally together and still feel confident. And the number one reason why they're confident is because they have a World Series win, right? Like in 2017. And so when you have that, knowing that you can still do it, and the Dodgers don't have that, I think their last World Series win was like 1988. I think that's the differentiating part here. The experience of the recent where they've won it all versus the Dodgers don't have that experience, even though they have the top tier talent.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the frustrating is this is a uniquely Los Angeles problem right now, and the fact that they just watched this happen with the Clippers too. This talented team was supposed to do so much. And even in a shortened season, that's why people are looking at Dave Roberts sideways right now for all he's accomplished and for all this team's value is we know their postseason struggles. And that narrative is easily written, even if at times I believe it's lazily written, especially about Clayton Kershaw. But on the other side with the Astros, I heard Mark Teixeira this morning on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and he brought up the idea of how good or bad is this really for business, the Astros potentially being involved in the World Series, and here's what he had to say.
I think it's better they don't make the World Series for all the reasons that you just said, Zubin. I want to see a World Series where we talk about positive things. I don't want to be talking about a cheating scandal the entire World Series when we're trying to be celebrating the game and really celebrating these players and the staff of all of the major league teams that went through a really tough summer getting through the COVID protocols. And you know, other than a few hiccups here and there, they did a great job. So I kind of want a positive message during this World Series, not one that just talks about the Astros cheating the whole time.
And you know what, Chiney and Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio, I sort of empathize with the people who cover baseball, the people who cover a specific sport, because I remember when we were going through all of this the first time and this scandal was largely dominating spring training, and Tim Kirkjian just looked so sad. And watching one of our best and brightest, a guy who's usually so happy, bummed out by this, bummed me out. But at the same time, Sinead, you know this, when it comes to sports' biggest stages, there's nothing that sells like a clear-cut villain in this. And either way you slice it, if you get the Astros involved in that conversation, I think either A, gives everyone someone easy to hate, to hope they fail on that stage, or B, if you're Major League Baseball, you can turn around and say, yeah, we understand they were a sub-500 team during the course of the season, but they battled through a lot, they had some key losses, especially in their pitching rotation during the year, and they still found a way to get here, meaning this team might have still been pretty darn good without the trash cans getting banged on.
Yeah, and the Rays still will have something to say about all of this, right? And shut it all down potentially. But, you know, when we think about the Houston Astros, again, I say their experience of winning has really made all the difference because being treated like a villain, also having Altuve finally have a better night, their experience, plus having the real experienced manager, Dusty Baker, like, I feel like that's helping them in their situation, even though everyone's sort of looking them still sideways. But still, like, if I'm here tuning in to the World Series and the Astros are there, it's compelling. It's still compelling.
And you mentioned Dusty Baker's like the one thing that ups their likability, because we all know he got brought in there to basically clean up everybody else's mess. And we all felt bad for him in that spot. And all he's done is put them in a position now for us to even have this conversation. Chiney and Golic Jr. reminding you the road to the World Series goes through ESPN Radio. Catch all the postseason action presented by AutoZone on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Coverage of the ALCS game covering right up after us here on ESPN Radio. Reminder to also check out Lomachenko and Lopez, 7:30 Eastern Saturday night. Going to be an incredible bout of boxing. Again, both cases where the animosity and the tension, I think, breed an even greater level of interest in all of this. But speaking of interest and what we've been talking about all day, if you find yourself in the friend zone, can you climb your way out? We will tell you the NFL teams trying to accomplish this feat as we head into another football weekend. That's next. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we take a look at some unlikely sources in a world and in a time where COVID-19 has been the focus Could an actual normal run-of-the-mill illness be the difference between the Browns' hopes and dreams on the field in Pittsburgh this Sunday? It's Chinay Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Mike Golick Jr. and Chinay Agumake here. But, Chinay, we have been talking all morning. Wow. It is really showing that we've been off for a while. All day about you, your triple threat cell phones, three cell phones, and all the problems that can go along with that, including guys either getting put into the friend phone or the end zone phone. And you've been pretty clear on this one. There is one phone for the show and another phone for everybody else, correct?
Yes.
All right, so we're going to stick with these end zone, friend zone principles.
Do you want to know which phone you're in?
I mean, I would assume we're colleagues and I'm in the friend phone in here, and I'm not slighted by that in the least.
You're in the end zone phone, the family phone.
Ah, okay. That's, you know what? That's a good point in all that one. Ohana means family. Booyaka, booyaka.
We haven't done an ELE in a minute.
We haven't done. There's a big ELE moment. Listen, we're working back, Chinay, into this too damn Friday mode. We got 2 hours fast and furious today. And so you're right. This is a good time. Like, do you and Cliff need to, like, work anything out right here?
Cliff, what do you have to say to me right now?
What phone am I in?
That's wow.
Like, you texted me, I don't know, what, 3 weeks ago or something like that, like on my birthday. What phone am I in?
So you are in the end zone phone. But
let's
I texted you once from the other phone because you texted me first from that phone.
Wow. By the way, that sounded real suspect. Like, you had to think long and hard on if you were going to lie to Cliff on air or not right now as you frantically changed
Cliff,
phones.
Cliff, you're my family phone. We've been texting for like over a year.
There we go. I accept it.
All right.
Do you have something to say to me now?
Everybody love everybody.
One day he's going to have the courage to just say, hey, Chinay, I love you. You're a great friend of mine. I appreciate everything you bring to the table here. We're all part of the same Chinay and Golick Jr. family. That's not today, is it, though?
Definitely not. No. We need some time. You gotta let that marinate.
All right, we gotta let that marinate. Let's get to end zone, friend zone. As millennials, one of the greatest triumphs in life is watching someone make it out of the friend zone. You're hoping, wishing.
You're strategizing.
And that's what we're gonna try and do here this weekend. We wanna get everyone ready for this weekend in the NFL.
End zone or friend zone.
Let you know who's gonna end up in the friend zone or the end zone when it comes to this NFL Sunday.
Friend zone to the
end zone. All right, this is all getting you ready for the weekend. Our weekend preview is brought to you by Geico.
Yes.
Geico is now offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. Visit geico.com for more. Chinay, you ready?
Let's go.
Game one.
Texans at Titans.
All right, Chinay, the Texans looking to right the ship in the post-Bill O'Brien world for them continually, while Tennessee comes in hot off a Tuesday night win over Buffalo. When you look at this game, who are you feeling friend zone or end zone in this one?
Well, you forget that the Texans are also coming in hot, too, because they finally got a win, but I'm actually putting my quarterback into the friend zone.
Ooh.
Deshaun Watson, I know, I can't believe this is happening, because look at what the Titans defense did to Josh Allen. It was the worst game of his what could have been an MVP campaign. And Deshaun Watson, he's been sacked 17 times in 5 games. I know he extends the play, but still, I'm going to put him in the friend zone because we know the Titans are hot. And more importantly, they have more of a complete team.
You know what? I can understand this, Chinay, and I appreciate you being able to look objectively at your hometown team in this one. Because on the other side, I'm actually going to put Ryan Tannehill in the end zone. What he's been able to do as their quarterback, especially in the red zone, when they get down, you get a lot of scoring opportunities because of Derrick Henry. Since week 7 of last season, when Ryan Tannehill became the starting quarterback, Tennessee has had a red zone touchdown percentage of 85.1%. It's patently absurd, and at this point, it's something that we can start to look at as a trend. He has proven their investment was worthwhile in him, so I'm going to go Ryan Tannehill in the end zone. What do we got next, Cliff?
Browns at Steelers.
Browns at Steelers. Listen, Chinay, massive implications for this. I believe I heard this earlier today. The Browns have lost their last 16 games at Pittsburgh on the road. So, Chinay, who do you got in this one?
I think it might be 17.
Ooh.
Just because without OBJ potentially due to his illness, and then also my guy, fantasy player Chubb, you're down key weapons. And then on top of it, Baker's status is also a question. Baker already is just 25th amongst quarterbacks in pass attempts per game. So already with a shrinking or shrunk, is it shrinking?
Shrinking. I think it's shrunk.
With a shrunk field due to not as many weapons, I think it's going to be more likely he struggles versus the Steelers, who are undefeated.
If I'm thinking, I'm shrinking. That's a shrinking field.
Shrinking field.
Is incredible. All right. So we've got that one on lock. I'm actually going to go end zone on the other side. And shout out to our ESPN NFL staff. Puts together a great look at every weekend. And I loved this nugget in here about Kareem Hunt, who I'm going to put in the end zone for the Cleveland Browns there. We know they've dealt with some injury at running back, but they've got a great one there. And since Hunt has come to Cleveland, he's been a top 27 running back in 11 of 13 games. And speaking of 11 of 13, he caught for 11 of 13 targets for 65 yards and a touchdown in his two games against the Steelers last season. So I think even if you've got to supplement in the pass game a little bit, Kareem Hunt's another one of those guys that provides a lot of versatility.
Who do you think's winning?
I still think the Steelers are going to win this
game. Hi, I got him.
Yeah.
Next, Cliff.
Packers at Buccaneers.
All right, Chinee. Packers at Buccaneers. A big-time matchup. Aaron Rodgers is hot as any quarterback in the league. Feeling himself this year going up against Tom Brady and the Bucs trying to get back in the win column after a Thursday night loss against the Bears. Friend zone or end zone, what do you got?
In the end zone, you are a winner. You are a winner. You are a winner. Every fan is a winner because this is the only fourth time in the history of which Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers have faced off. So we're all winning for this.
Mr. Randy Watson,
Yeah,
Joshua, win the Battle of Jericho, yeah.
Do you agree, though? I feel like all of us are winners regardless of who wins, actually.
Absolutely. Now, I look in this one, and I think this is a chance to be a big statement game for the Green Bay Packers, who we've talked about as one of the best in the NFC. But I look for another reason here, and I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm going to say Tampa Bay, I'm going to put their front seven in the friend zone because they suffered a major loss in their last game. Vita Vea, their star nose guard, which we don't often say in the NFL, but he is a 347-pound nightmare of a man. Ooh. An unbelievable athlete and one of the catalysts of that defense for Todd Bowles. And I just think when you're going up against, on the other side, a Green Bay Packers offensive line that when you look at ESPN's metrics, whether it's pass block win rate or pass rush win rate, pass or run block win rate, man, those are hard to say. The Green Bay Packers measure out as maybe the best line you could argue for a couple in the NFL by those standards. They've done an unbelievable job, and I think their job got a lot easier for Sunday. So I'm going to go front seven for the Bucs in the friend zone. Last one, let's go to college.
Georgia at Alabama.
That's right, I forgot.
Okay, Cliff.
All right, Cliff, a little bass in the voice going into a Friday.
Number two, Georgia at number, number three, Georgia at number two, Alabama.
There we go. All right. You know what? All's well that ends well on that one. And Chinee, a primetime matchup in college football. The best game we've seen, bar none, so far this season. End zone or friend zone, who do you got?
Such a strong name. I'm like almost, you know, when you get to that age when you want to think of names for your kids, Najee Harris. Okay.
Ooh.
Last game for Bama, they beat Ole Miss and he had 5 TDs, 200 yards. Now, potentially with or without Nick Saban on the sidelines, I feel like it could potentially be a simplified offense, which leans more on the run game. And so I feel like you just let Najee run wild.
All right, you know what? I'm always going to be someone that capes for Najee Harris whenever I get the opportunity to, but I'm actually going to go end zone in a different part of the Alabama offense in wide receiver John Mechie. We know a lot about Devonta Smith. We know a lot about Jalen Waddle in this offense, but we've seen since Mac Jones took over at quarterback, and he said, when I spent time running the scout team, Mechie was a guy I had a lot of time with. I got to learn all the ins and outs, and so in big moments, I won't be shocked when he's a guy that's able to come up with plays. You mentioned great matchups. This is an all-timer. Saturday's game between Bama and Georgia represents the first time in the 16 years of ESPN's analytics efficiency rankings that the top teams entering the game have met in the regular season. Georgia, the top defensive unit in efficiency. Alabama, the top offensive unit. The prior matchups have favored defense. I'm rolling with the Tide on this one, Chinee.
So, here with you.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. But coming up next, we mentioned in that weekend preview, big things on the line for the Cleveland Browns. Why that job could be a little harder after one shot in the ribs heard around the world. We'll get to that next. It's Chinee and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chinee and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Coming up in about 10 minutes, in the case of the Astros versus Major League Baseball, Why their run to the World Series could potentially be the best for both parties. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. But remember to tune into football action this Sunday as Big Ben and the Steelers host the Browns. Pregame begins at noon Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. And Chinay, we talked about this game in end zone or friend zone, but I want to go back to the Browns and Steelers because there's a lot of interesting at play here. We look certainly at Odell Beckham Jr., who's out right now with non-COVID related illness, but still not having him in the building out of an abundance of cautions. And so we're worried about his status going into the weekend. But we've also got Baker Mayfield dealing with a rib injury. And on top of all of this, we've talked about bad blood in sports. You mentioned during the last break, this is their first look at Myles Garrett since last year after that suspension. And Myles Garrett said, when asked about this, we'll see, this is a quote, quote, we'll see when we play, but their head coach Mike Tomlin said they're past it. We're past it as a team. We're ready to go out there and play ball. Do you believe a single word that anyone is past this, Chinay?
No one's past it because it's another narrative going into the game. But what I will say is this, okay? First, Myles Garrett was like, big don't try me energy, right? Like on this. But he missed the final games of the season, final six games of the season last year. He was fined $45,000 and lost roughly $1.2 million in salary for the incident. And so now I feel like that's enough of punishment. Like when your wallet's going down by a milli, I feel like you personally know what's at stake and emotions will be in check. And also like Big Ben's back.
Yeah. Oh, listen, it completely changes that because like you mentioned last time around, completely different situation at quarterback with Mason Rudolph in there for the Steelers' overall success. Now, life might be a little easier for Myles Garrett and the whole D-line there. Dave DeCastro, their usual starting right guard, going to be out of this game. Diana Russini, our ESPN NFL insider, claims that this is not something anybody is worried about.
In terms of the Myles Garrett drama headed into this one, I spoke to sources from both sides, and the owners of the Browns and the Steelers had a phone call this past week to just talk about perhaps what they want to make sure the messaging is in that locker room before the game, to make sure that this is about football, that there isn't going to be any vengefulness, there's not going to be any clouded judgment out there that is not related to playing this game. So I thought that was really interesting, but just talking from the coach's standpoint and their messaging, of course they're going to listen to their owners. But guys, I don't really get a sense that anyone is even thinking about this in or at least making it a priority headed into this game. Everyone's going to use what they can for an edge. We've seen it. Whatever they can take to keep themselves motivated. I can tell you definitely from the Steelers side of this, they don't care about any of this. And this is really about Mike Tomlin's leadership once again and making sure his guys are just going to be prepared. That's what's going to get them motivated to win this.
Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Chinay, I understand the messaging is going to be right up and down all the way, but you know this. Athletes got long memories, and especially when it comes to what goes on in the trenches. I really don't even think it'll be extracurriculars, because remember, this was out of character for Myles Garrett, too. I just think it's one of those instances where he's already going to be garnering a lot of attention. This is already a division game that means a lot. When you've got chances to set a tone, you were probably going to do it anyway, but there's always a little added bonus, especially when you know it's not like he harmed any of the linemen. He harmed the guy behind them, and that's the biggest no-no, going after someone else's teammate.
I think that situation, that altercation, means both teams will show up, the Browns and the Steelers. Like, they're going to show up. They're not going to look past this matchup. People have probably circled this, right? Two, I think on the Steelers side, this is a team that's trending in a good direction based on the momentum they built. They're undefeated. You have Big Ben back. Juju's out here. They're doing things. Your boy Chase Claypool, which I really want to know, do you think that that is more of the norm to expect from him? Or do you think that maybe, you know, four TDs? Yeah, like this is a big potential slide, but do you think like he'd be able to carry that into this again?
Absolutely. Deontay Johnson, one of their other wide receivers, is actually looking like he's going to miss this game. And so he's going to have the target opportunities. And Ben Roethlisberger gave a lot of credit to Juju Smith-Schuster for being as supportive as he was, showing joy for someone else's accomplishments. It didn't have to be Juju out there winning. This offense having two real dynamic and similar playmakers like that is, I think, the ultimate reason why this remains a Steelers victory in this situation. So a lot to still dive into with that. But coming up next, let's head to Major League Baseball's postseason for some villains.